This morning I'll be reading from Revelation chapter 5 verses 6 through 14, which is on page 1219 in the Pew Bible. Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. May God bless the reading of his word.
Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we do pray that you would bless the reading and the understanding and the living out of your holy word. We thank you for instruction, and I pray that your spirit would be active upon us in this time. In Christ we pray, amen. We've just read from the book of Revelation, final book of the Bible. We've read from chapter 5 when the apostle John looked and heard the voice of many angels, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And he heard the multitude of angels sing words of everlasting worship. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Worthy is the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the one and only Son whom God sacrificed on the cross that we might have life and have that life to the full, both in this world and in the world to come. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy to receive honor and glory and praise. As the book of Revelation warns of Satan's increased persecution of believers, there's a call for Christians to stand fast, to stand firm, to hold firmly to belief, our belief in Jesus Christ, until that time when Christ shall return, when the people of the Lord shall enter into eternal glory. Christians, you and I, we need to be aware of and we need to prepare for a time of increased persecution of believers. That's part of what Revelation is teaching us. Revelation speaks of the evil and the seductive presence of Satan, warning that many will fall away. Many will fall away, turning to their own selfish desires. Many will fall away because they have been taught by false teachers. And many will fall away because they have failed to be obedient in living out the word of God. Now, such a message of warning and woe at this time of the year doesn't seem to fit well with the world's image of Christmas. And I want you to particularly make sure that you hear correctly, the world's image of Christmas. What is that image? It's a white wonderland of merriment and joy, of homes and churches and businesses decorated with lights and with glitter and with tinsel. It's of parties and well wishes. It's of shopping and packages and presents galore. This is what the world has seemingly been waiting for in Christmas. Waiting for all the wonders and the joys this special and unique holiday season has to offer. If you've been in the stores as much as I have been, since even before Halloween, store shelves have been stocked with all the beautiful and necessary holiday decorations. Black Friday sales began early once again, and they continue. Financial reports on how much shoppers are spending and whether those stores are going to make a profit based on the final month's sales. The world could barely wait for Thanksgiving to be over. The annual showing of all those holiday classics began even on Thursday night and Friday. Frosty the Snowman and Grinch Who Stole Christmas and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Friday morning, radio stations were already playing Christmas songs and carols. The secular world celebration of the Christmas season is in full force once again. The world's image of Christmas. Why? Why am I making such a distinction in the use of the world's image of Christmas? Christmas does include all that I've described from a secular view. It's okay to decorate the churches in our homes. It's okay to buy those presents. It's a wonderful blessing to have those family gatherings and to share the love of Christ. There's more. The love of Christ, our worship of Jesus Christ, is what is added to the world's view. The Christian view is that world, that worship of Jesus Christ. The focus of Advent is not just on the Messiah's birth in that lowly stable in Bethlehem so long ago, though that is a miraculous blessing beyond our full description and understanding. The focus of Advent is also upon the second coming of Christ. While we remember and celebrate the incarnation, the birth of God's Son Jesus, born in that stable, Advent points us further down the road. Advent points us to the future, when we long for and anticipate the second coming of Christ, preparing our hearts to see Jesus return to the world in all of his wondrous eternal glory. In faith and in wisdom, in joy and in peace, Christians enjoy the decorations, the gatherings, the gift giving, and the glow of Christmas, while keeping their eyes and their hearts fixed on Christ, for he alone is worthy of our honor and glory and praise. Several decades ago, an English missionary physician was taken prisoner by rebels during a rebellion in the African Congo. Beaten and abused by her captors, the doctor suffered terribly. In the days and weeks that followed, she found herself asking herself, "Is it worth it? Is it worth it?" As the doctor began to ponder the cost of following Jesus, she sensed God speaking to her about it. Years later, she explained to an interviewer, "When the awful moments came during rebellion and the price seemed too high to pay, the Lord seemed to say to me, 'Change the question.' It's not, 'Is it worth it?' It's, 'Am I worthy?'" Change the question. It's not, "Is it worth it?" It's, "Am I worthy?" She concluded that in spite of the ordeals of pain that she endured, always the answer was the same. Yes, he is worthy. Through God's grace at work within her during her harrowing ordeal, that doctor decided that the Savior, who had suffered even death on the cross for her salvation, was indeed worthy to be followed no matter what she faced on earth. Her words, "He is worthy," echoes the cries of those surrounding Jesus' throne in our reading from the book of Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Our Savior suffered. Our Savior bled. Our Savior died for us, giving himself entirely so that we may freely receive eternal life and eternal hope. His all deserves our all. He is worthy. Christ's worthiness is seen in his human birth that we celebrate at Christmas. His worthiness is seen in his resurrection that we celebrate at Easter. Christ's worthiness is what points us forward with hope, with expectant hearts and minds, for he's coming again in glory. During this Advent season, let us always remember Jesus Christ is worthy of our worship. Jesus Christ is worthy of our devotion. Jesus Christ is worthy of our trust. Jesus Christ is worthy of our boldness in sharing the gospel during this season of Advent. As Jesus Christ is worthy, we are called to humble ourselves, bowing before Christ in submission, bowing before him in conviction, bowing before him in confession, as we individually and collectively prepare to receive the sacrament that is set before us. To the glory of God, amen. On this first Sunday of Advent, in this season in which we speak of expectation and preparation, as we celebrate the holy birth of Jesus, we know that Christ is Lord, and we wait expectantly for his return. Through this sacrament, we seek the gifts of the Lord's grace, forgiveness of sins, the joy of life, and the promise of salvation. All who desire such gifts are invited to share in this time of communion and restoration. Here at St. John's, we observe open communion. So as we serve communion this day, it's open to all believers that believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible passage of 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32 provides instruction on how believers should approach the sacrament of communion. It says, "Whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A person ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Such faithful examination includes the confession of sin. So let us bow before our Lord in a time of confessional prayer. Lord, as your humble servants, in this season of hope, it is with hope that we bow before you, hoping in the promise of forgiveness, that as we confess our sin, that sin or those sins that we have created, that we are living with right now, that fill our minds with guilt and shame, Lord, we pray for the light of Christ. That light will wipe away the darkness of our guilt and restore us in the hope and the promise of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we confess and give us the strength and the power to repent, that we will walk away from those sins and leave them in the past, and we will live with light and with hope. In Christ we pray. Amen. God promises forgiveness of sins and renewal of spirit through the saving grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cup of salvation that sets on the Lord's table serves to remind us of his shed blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Through Christ and through your faith in him, know you have the promised forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this sacrament, we remember the night in which Jesus would be betrayed, that he first gathered in the upper room with his disciples. And while they were at the table celebrating the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And Jesus took the cup. And after giving thanks, he shared it with them and said, "Drink of this. This is the new cup of the covenant shed in my blood for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would bless this bread and this cup. Bless us with your grace and peace as we receive these elements in remembrance of what you did for us on the cross. Make this a vital and active part of our relationship with you, both today and throughout this Advent season. In Christ we pray, amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We take them in remembrance that Christ died for us and was raised for us. And so now I invite all to come, for now all things are ready. The body of Christ, broken for you. Remembering him, take and eat. Thank you. the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Remembering him, take and drink. May this Holy Communion be the living example of God's love and grace offered to you for the forgiveness of your sin, as promised in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Lord. Amen.
Please arise if you are able, and let us sing the Advent hymn. It is, O Thou Joyful, O Thou Wonderful. It is found on page 119. Please remain standing for the spoken benediction and then the benediction and song, which is verse 1 of number 127, Thou didst leave thy throne.
May the light of Christ illumine your heart and guide you into the glory of everlasting life. Amen.